From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. We're glad you're with us as today we finish out our study of Colossians 1, 26 and 27 on the rich and glorious mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I trust that the Lord has been blessing this to your heart and that today you'll be even more encouraged and deeply rooted in Christ as we look for one more time at this great subject. But we're going to start off today with our daily devotional Bible study with one of my favorite verses and one of my favorite themes in all the Bible. Deuteronomy 33:26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. The truth is, there's no God like our God. This sentence from Deuteronomy 33:26 is taken from Moses' last earthly utterance. What a way to leave this world. Facing death and reviewing the way in which the Lord had led him, Moses was at peace. He was absolutely sure that all those years before, when by faith he had turned his back on Egypt and had chosen to suffer reproach for Christ, he had made the right choice. He had followed the right master. He had associated with the right people. Happy is the man who can face death and eternity with the same assurance in the Lord. To choose Christ is often to choose earthly loss or painful persecution. Carnal men consider us lunatic if we turn our backs on the pleasures and treasures of Egypt to take up our cross and follow Christ. But those earthly baubles are useless in the hour of death. Only a living faith in Christ can comfort us as we enter eternity. If Christ is our Savior in life, He will be our song in death. Today, let us give much thought to the unique greatness of our Lord. He is the ever-living God. He is the ever-loving God. He is the everlasting God. The gods men worship are idols. They have no existence outside the imaginations of their creators. Our God is the true God, beside whom there is none else. He controls all things. He keeps us continually in His thoughts. He protects us. He helps us. Daily, He loads us with benefits. Best of all, He has placed us in Christ, pardoning all our sins and clothing us in Christ's imputed righteousness. Those whom He justifies, He also glorifies, thus establishing our eternal security in Christ. Rejoice, O Christian, rejoice in the Lord. We have a great God and a great Savior. Amid the trials of life, He will not fail, and He will not forsake us. When we come to die, He will carry us through in triumph. Therefore, our testimony will forever be as it is now. There is no God like our God. And our thought for the day from C.H. Spurgeon, there is nothing little in God.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see?
Regular listeners to Let the Bible Speak will know that here on the program, we like to offer some good and helpful literature. Some time ago, we had a special offer of one of my books, and for a while now, we're making a very particular offer of a book entitled God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of Daniel. It's by my associate pastor, Dr. Michael Barrett, and it answers the question, where is God? A question often asked by skeptics, scoffers, and even by troubled believers. Trials and tribulations of one sort or another crowd people's daily lives. Corruption, conflict, and catastrophe seem to command the world scene. And in the middle of all this comes the question, where is God? There is a new heresy abroad in many parts of the professing church. It's called open theism. It has the idea that God is a good God, God is a caring God, but he is always reacting to what is happening in the world. He is not the God of providential purpose and unfailing control. Dr. Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, the message of the book of Daniel, shows that God, our Savior, is the God of history, and he's the God of prophecy. And therefore, he is also the great God of the present, the one who is in complete control. So the message of the book of Daniel simply is, not to worry. The Lord has everything under control. Now, you can receive your free copy of God's Unfailing Purpose while our supplies last by writing to us here at Let the Bible Speak. So we look forward to hearing from you. And we'd be happy to send you not only God's Unfailing Purpose, but any of the other pieces of literature that we advertise here in the broadcast from time to time. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'll be glad to send you Dr. Mike Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of the Book of Daniel. In yesterday's broadcast, we were pointing out that the two great aspects of the mystery with which Paul is dealing at the end of Colossians 1 are that it is rich and it is glorious. Yesterday we spent our time on the fact that it was rich, and we're going to continue a little in that vein today and then end up with the truth that ours is a glorious gospel, a glorious inheritance. The mystery of Christ in us is the hope of glory. With that in mind, let's turn once again to Colossians chapter 1, and let's commence with a very important question that I think will make the point that I was seeking to labor on yesterday on the richness of our inheritance in Christ.
If God can only delight in an absolutely just measurement of my fitness for heaven, how on earth can I ever get there? Every religion in the world has come up with its own stupid answer, from popery's notion of purging your sins out in the fires of purgatory, to the Jewish notion that if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you'll get there. But God's answer is Christ. Our covenant head, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. What a treasure house of truth there is to be enjoyed in the doctrine of God's salvation. Let me ask you a question. And I want you to take it seriously. I'm not trying to put people on a guilt trip. I'm trying to get you to change your life where it needs to be changed. You sit here this morning, and I have no doubt that in the vast majority of cases, I would hope in every case, you'll nod your head, you'll acquiesce at least in your heart and say, yes, that's true. I believe in all that. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. But let me ask you this question. Outside of when you hear these things in church, how much time have you ever spent actually thinking on these things? How often have you ever taken the Bible and got away with God and opened this and got in your knees and cried, Lord, teach me, show me? Let me recommend it to you. I've told you the story in the past. Some years ago, I was exercised about this doctrine of the incarnation. Every December, when the world wants or seems to be a little bit more willing to listen, I always like to preach on the doctrine of the incarnation. For a number of years, I would take every Sunday in December and do that. But so that it wouldn't simply be little sermon outlines. I remember getting in my study and going alone with God and crying to God that He would open the book to me in a new way. He would open my heart in a new way. He would give me an understanding, or at least an appreciation, of the magnitude and the majesty of this mystery of the incarnation of God. I can't say I can do a good job of ever expressing that, but I do know that those were days of blessing and of heaven and earth. Days when my own heart expanded. Days when my own soul was lifted up. Days when I could, if not understand, which I couldn't, at least I could rejoice in this glory of God coming in the flesh. I could tell you of other times when I've gone to the Lord with other subjects, and I'm encouraging you to do that. This is not a preacher's prerogative. It's not limited to some clerical elite. This is for God's people. We are all priests of God. We are all indwelt by the Spirit of God. We all have the same Bible. You may not know Greek and Hebrew, and you may not have studied systematic theology. So what? Those are tools. They're available for your help as you need them. But you've got a Bible. You have the Holy Spirit within you. Let me ask you again. When was the last time you got alone with God with an open Bible and you cried, "Lord, speak to me"? And you took time to think through and pray through and praise your way through some of the great truths of the gospel. What's the last book you've read about the person and the work of Christ? What's the last book you've read or studied about the atonement, about the resurrection, about the intercessory and mediatorial work of Christ? Well, you read the newspaper. Fat lot of use that'll do you. You can tell what's happening in the political world, perhaps. The more you think you've got a handle in that world, the more you realize it's just a bigger and bigger mess all the time. You've maybe read the latest novel. But here's God's book. What have you done with it? Let me tell you, this is a rich and glorious revelation. But the particular richness of this grace lies in this, the indwelling of Christ in your heart. Christ in you. That's the rich fullness of this divine revelation. And he dwells in you by his Spirit. I can prove that simply by referring you to Romans 8 verses 9 and 10. Would say you're not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of you, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. What he's saying is, by the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you, he means Christ dwelling in you. By Christ dwelling in you, he means the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. The Holy Spirit is the true vicar of Christ. He, as the Spirit of Christ, dwells within us. He's the source of all life and light. He's the revealer of Christ and the gospel. He's the sanctifier of our souls, the constant sustainer of our being in God's grace. And because of him we have fellowship with Christ, we have the presence of Christ, and we have the power of Christ. And that brings me back again to the very point of the question I asked. When last did you get down with God's book? Because you've no excuse. You've God's word, you've God's revelation. Outside and inside you have the Holy Spirit, the author of the book, responding as it were to his own revelation. This is a rich revelation, and God puts us in possession of it. It's also a glorious revelation. Christ in you is the hope of glory. What a statement. No hope of glory for any man apart from the indwelling Christ. Ephesians 2, without Christ equals without hope. But with Christ in us, we confidently are waiting for glory. To humans, hope is something that's not very certain. You're hoping for something because you're not sure of it. That's the very opposite to the biblical knowledge of hope. Biblically, to hope for something is to wait confidently, expecting it, because Christ has purchased it. And God has promised it. And you can't have anything better than that. Now that's what's revealed by God in the mystery of the gospel. He's given us truly a wealth of his fullness in Christ. And he's given us his blessed Holy Spirit to dwell within us. He has sealed us by that same Holy Ghost for glory. Ephesians 1:14 says, the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What's the earnest? It's the down payment. It's the first payment that guarantees all the rest. Christ in you is the beginning of glory. Christ in you is the promise of eternal glory. Christ in you is the guarantee of that glory. Therefore, to know Christ is everything. Beside this, all other knowledge is sterile. Think of it. Can you recite the periodic table? Big deal if you go to hell. You know all that higher education can impart. Big deal if you're perishing in the pit. Beside the knowledge of Christ, what else matters? Now, do not misunderstand me. I am not an obscurantist. I am not anti-intellectual. I believe that once you know Christ, it will set your intellect free to learn as you've never learned before, and what you've never learned before, and use the powers that God has given you in ways you could never have dreamed of. But I'm saying this. In all you're getting, get this wisdom. In all you're knowing, get this knowledge. The knowledge of Jesus Christ as he's revealed in the gospel, as your Lord and as your Savior. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's all pray. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the rich and glorious mystery of the gospel, revealed by thy gracious Holy Spirit in the Word and in our own hearts, by the power of God opening our minds to receive it. Lord, we do thank thee and bless thee today for the light of life in Christ. Bless thy people. Lord, there are such treasure houses of glorious truth in thy word. Grant us grace to mine the truths of Scripture. Lord, give your people a great burden to get in the book. We realize that backsliding always comes from a neglect of God's truth and God's presence. We realize, O God, that when we lose out, it's because we have turned away from an honest and spiritual pursuit of God's truth in his word and obedience thereto. O God, we pray, open up the book to us now. Open up our hearts to the word. Give every Christian here a strong desire to know more about Jesus in his word, holding communion with our Lord. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt do it. Heal the backsliding of our hearts. Lord, forgive us for being taken up with lesser things when we have got such glories of God's eternal truth at our hand. Remember any who know not Christ. O God, we pray, open their hearts and their minds to see the beauties of the Savior. Grant them grace today to flee to Christ. And we thank thee that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hear our prayer. Part us with thy blessing. Grant that thy grace, mercy, and peace will be our abiding portion, both this Lord's day and evermore. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.